Good evening, church. I wanted to take just a moment before I get to the Devo and just personally thank you all for the love and support that you have given to Janet and me since we lost our RV. It has been a little bit of a difficult road for us, but you guys have been awesome. We had a whole bunch of guys that came out and helped us move into our apartment, and then we started getting pounded, which, like you said, is a good thing around here. But we've already experimented with the blender we got. We rediscovered smoothies this week, and we're excited about that. And just a lot of the basic stuff you need around a house, you guys have stepped up and helped us with. So I just want to thank you all. It means a lot to us, and we're very happy to be a part of this church family. So about a month ago, we were driving in the RV. May it rest in peace. And I was listening to a Christian radio station, and I heard a story that I thought was pretty interesting. So I wanted to share that story with you tonight and then just offer a couple of quick spiritual applications of it. It's about a ceramics class. So the ceramics teacher announced on opening night that he was dividing the class into two groups. All those on the left side of the studio, he said, would be graded solely on the quantity of work they produced, while all those on the right side would be graded solely on its quality. His procedure was simple. On the final day of class, he would bring in his bathroom scales and weigh the work of the quantity group. 50 pounds of pots rated an A, 40 pounds a B, and so on. Those being graded on quality, however, needed to produce only one pot, albeit a perfect one, to get an A. Well, grading time came, and a curious fact emerged. The works of highest quality were all produced by the group being graded for quantity. It seems that while the quantity group was busily churning out piles of work and learning from their mistakes, the quality group had set theorizing about perfection, and in the end had little more to show for their efforts than grandiose theories and a pile of dead clay. So I thought about that story, and I think there's a number of takeaways we could draw from it, but I want to offer just two tonight. And the first one is, I think we need to plan on making a lot of mistakes in life. For you parents out there, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. We made a lot of mistakes raising our two sons, and I think you probably start to get it figured out about your seventh or eighth child, and then you probably keep making mistakes. And so it's just going to keep happening. So learn from them and become better parents. Spouses, you're going to regularly fall short of the ideal that we talked about in our marriage seminar last weekend. So what do you do about it? You keep striving. You keep trying to improve, and you stay positive. You get better at it. Elders, deacons, and preacher, despite your best efforts, you're going to wish you had some do-overs. You're human. So what do you do about that? You learn from those mistakes. You don't let those mistakes crush you or discourage you in your ministry. Young people that are here tonight, as children, as students, as athletes, as Christians, you're going to fall short on occasion. Don't dwell on that. It's part of the process. So don't not sign up for a club or a sports team because you're worried you might fail at it. Sign up for everything. Be involved. Take chances. Take some risks. During my Air Force career, I had a commander tell me once, "You show me someone who is not making mistakes, and I'll show you someone who is not doing anything." He went on to say, "The most successful people are those out there trying and taking risks and often failing over and over until they get it right." In Philippians 3, starting in verse 13, Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." I think Paul's saying, I've made some mistakes. I've broken some pottery. I wish I had some do-overs in my life, but I don't dwell on it. I learn from those mistakes, and I keep moving forward. And then I think there's a second principle from this story that more specifically relates to evangelism. When it comes to evangelism, you're probably going to fail a lot. My experience has been that most of my evangelistic efforts don't result in baptisms, at least not to my knowledge. I don't know the percentage of my success in evangelism, but I would guess statistically it's pretty low. Our tendency then as Americans who don't like to fail is to not make an attempt, because, you know, it's easier to not try than to fail. So we just don't try. So rather than deal with rejection, we decide just to not evangelize. Or sometimes I think what we do is we carry around a single seed, waiting for the perfect opportunity to plant it. I've got my single gospel seed here, and I'm waiting for the perfect soil with the perfect nutrients and the perfect weather conditions to plant it, because I don't want to fail. I want that seed to grow. I want to be a successful soul winner. Well, there's two problems with that line of thinking. The first problem is, with that thinking, is that it is actually God and not us who makes that seed grow, who bring forth the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:6. If a baptism is going to result, the one who gets the credit is not us, but God. And then I think the second problem with that single gospel seed line of thinking is that if you want to have a successful crop, but you anticipate a high failure rate, you'd better scatter a lot of seeds. At work, we should be scattering seeds. At school, we should be scattering seeds. At Walmart, we're scattering seeds. On vacation, we're scattering seeds. Anywhere and everywhere. And you say, Steve, well, what if I toss 1,000 seeds and only one takes root? Out of 1,000, only one ends up in a baptism. What if I fail 999 times out of 1,000? And I would say to that, praise God for the one that responded, because he made it grow. And secondly, to get that one, you better scatter 1,000 seeds. James 3:2 says, we all stumble in many ways. That means you and me. So number one, we need to learn from that, but not let it discourage us, not let it crush us and crush our faith. And secondly, we need to scatter a lot of seeds. If there's someone that's here tonight that has stumbled, or if you're struggling in any way, we'll be glad to help you tonight, to pray for you. Or perhaps there is someone here who is ready to become a Christian. If that's the case, please come forward as we stand and sing.